Hello and welcome to Floating Swimming Stories with me, Joe Minahan. My guest this week is the author Jessica J. Lee. Jessica is the author of Turning, a swimming memoir, and Two Trees Make a Forest, about her family's life in Taiwan and her place within it. Both books are absolutely amazing, and I'm such a huge fan of Jess's work, and I'm very, very proud to be able to call her a friend. I called Jessica up in Berlin in June 2020 to have a chat. We last swam together back in October in Schlachtensee when I was in the city on a family holiday. This podcast covers a range of topics from swimming during lockdown, swimming in the summer, and whether it's any better than swimming in the winter, and some pretty important issues around access to the water for people from varying backgrounds and why we all need to get better at looking towards those issues and dealing with them. I really, really hope you enjoy this episode. It's a relatively short one, but I think it's one of the best we've done so far. I'll see you on the other side. Thanks. Have you been swimming much, or like in lockdown? What's the deal?
Have I been swimming much? I have not been swimming as much as I would like in lockdown. We're completely allowed to here in Berlin. Sorry, my dog is like groaning. Yeah, we're allowed to, but I feel like I took the like stay at home advice very literally, and I've really been staying at home. And so I've only swum a handful of times in recent months. But the swims I have had, I think because of lack of regular swimming, have been all the better for it. And I've done a couple ones where it's like I've gone like pretty far out into the countryside on my bike and had like the perfect forest lake swim. So those have been really special.
So so at the start of it, I suppose that you're probably not fully acclimatized as you'd be, right? Because were you swimming through winter?
I did swim through the winter, yeah. Again, not as often as I usually would. I went swimming a lot in the winter in one lake in particular called Flughafensee here in Berlin, which is Airport Lake.
Yeah.
It's right next to Tegel Airport. It's like an artificial, it's a man-made lake that was made when they dug gravel pits for the airport when it was built. And it's a bit of a bird sanctuary now. It's quite nice, but I was swimming there a lot in the winter because we have our dog who was a small puppy then, and right next to that lake there's like a Hundeauslauf, like a dog forest where the dogs can be off leash and run around in the woods. So I just made that my regular swim because it was like I could go and walk the dog and go for a swim, teach the dog about the concept of humans going swimming. That has been like my big project for this year. He doesn't like it. So yeah, I was swimming there a lot in the winter, but we didn't get much of a winter. It never got cold, never froze, no ice, nothing. So it was like, I think 5 or 6 degrees in the water all winter, which I just think is boring.
See, that to me is like sea freezing.
I didn't get to use my hammer.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, you know, obviously that like my image of you, my first image of you is the back jacket of Turning, like with your hammer. That's a lot of ice there.
I mean, I think that's I would love a happy medium between like so much ice that I can only make a tiny hole versus like no ice at all. I would like a bit of ice which I have to break through to get to open water to swim. That's like my ideal situation, right? But the past two winters we've had no ice, it didn't snow. We had nothing this year. It was really not wintry.
It's weird because I didn't swim as much through the winter this year. I did swim through maybe once or twice a week rather than like every day as I was doing winter last. And obviously it got chilly, but it didn't ever feel like, you know, it was brutally cold. There were maybe a couple of days I'd go down with like the dry robe and the coat and like everything and get togged up after, but it never felt brutal. I was thinking this, so I swam this morning and it's a bit of a weird weather here. It's like a strange offshore breeze. The waves are in a particular way that they only get in at a certain time, so that all the surfers are out, which is quite a strange sight in Brighton. But it feels like Bath like at the minute, which is nice in a way because you can get in and you can have a proper swim. But then I was just like, you know what, it only takes me like 15 minutes to like get back to normal afterwards. Apart from my fingers have started going white after swims now. Just
A lot of friends have this issue.
The thing I just have to have like a scalding hot cup of coffee afterwards, like you know, a mug to wrap my hands around. But like the winter, I kind of feel like my love of winter swimming has grown more. But then my concern, my only problem with winter swimming isn't even the getting in; it's the fact that it takes me like 3 hours to get back into some any kind of headspace where I can do anything like work or write. Or, you know, look after my son and my daughter.
It doesn't sharpen you? Like, I find that, like, having winter swim, it's like switching on my brain and, like electrifying myself for the rest of the day, I find. And then in the summer, it's like, the summer swims are the ones that mess me up because they just make me kind of want to lay there and float around and be quite lazy for the rest of the day.
Yeah, I find they do get my brain going, but only after a few hours. Like I find that initial bit where like I've had the second drop, I've got to have another cup of coffee, I've got to like, you know, then get in the shower, but like not too close to the swim, so I don't go hypothermic, which is, and then I'm high as a kite, like I am off my face for hours, and yeah. Then I'll start work, you know, then I can be like, oh, maybe I'll do a little bit of work now, but then it's like, yeah, it's midday, like, you know, maybe I, you know.
Yeah, I feel that.
A little bit earlier, I don't know.
It's good for you doing your morning coffee and emails when you're just like buzzing and you can just be like, I gotta answer all these emails.
Yeah,
and
then nice. it's really
satisfying.
I mean, if you have ready access to water, as lucky as I am for that, then yeah, sure, it's great. I mean, I failed every year. I tell myself I'm going to get up on the solstice and do a sunrise swim, and every year I don't. And this year I was awake, but in my, you know, I was awake because I have a 6-week-old daughter and she was not happy. And I was like, I can't really just put her down, put my swimming kit on, walk out, leave my wife to look after said child.
Can't quite get away with that. We just had rain the entire day. It was really, really miserable. I didn't see the sky the entire day, which feels like the opposite of what should happen on a solstice.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that was...
It's not great. Like there was a sunrise rainbow here. I saw a picture of it, but then yesterday was too windy. Like it was too rough to go out in the sea, and it rained in the morning. So it is why I don't feel bad about it, really.
No. Yeah. I mean, I do feel like now it's really nice out today, and all I'm thinking is like, I should finish some work and then hop on my bike and go for a swim, because I haven't been in 2 weeks now, and that feels like too long for me. But it is definitely like, I mean, it's different. Obviously, you've got kids. So like you said, you can't just like pop out and go for a swim whenever you want. I have the dog and theoretically I could leave him, but I don't know. I like to take him with me normally. And it's like, then I like to take him somewhere where it's like worthwhile for him to go. And then it becomes more of a production, you know? It's like, I don't just pop to my local lake. I plan out something and I should probably get over that and just start, you know, taking him with me to our local and jumping in the water.
How long is the local from you?
12 minutes on the bike.
Yeah, that's super close.
And the dog has a little basket on the bike now, so he just rides in the back.
Fine, you have a lovely time. You just enjoy it.
Yeah, I really should do it. I do. I tend not to go to our local so much in the summer because it can be really packed.
Yeah.
And it's like quite a small lake. It's called Weissensee. It's quite small and gets a bit gunky in the summer, I guess would be the best way to put it. So it's like, my husband won't even go with me there. He hates it there. He's like, he thinks it's so gross. But like, I'll go there through the winter and it's lovely in the winter because, you know, obviously all of the gunk settles and the water, you know, the sediment clears and it's just really clear and cold and lovely in the winter and it's empty.
Yeah.
But at this point in the year, basically any day of the week when it's warm out, I will get there and it will be like bumping with people and someone will like be blasting techno and everyone will be drinking a lot of beer and it's like, it's not very relaxing.
Yeah. Is it busy if you go there now, even like,
yeah, if I went there now there would be probably like, I don't know, people across the whole lake, like it's round and so people sort of gather around the shore all the way around and pretty much everywhere there will be people at this point. Especially now because like everyone's working from home in air quotes, which means like people are just going swimming and hanging out and chilling in the daytime whenever they want. So, I feel like it's harder to get a quiet space at the lake right now because everyone is basically free.
I mean, this is the thing down here, like it's got like scary busy in Brighton of late, and it's going to again soon because the weather's going to get better and the schools will be out and everything. And yeah, like you say, that everyone's, you know, furloughed or working from home. And like the beach, like when it got really warm, and I tend to do this anyway in summer, like I kind of, it just doesn't appeal because, not because the water doesn't appeal, but just the crowds. I don't know if it's just me because I'm a massive misanthrope and I'm really antisocial. But like finding a quiet spot along from here, like at the start of lockdown, I was cycling along the Undercliff Path to Rotting Dean or to Salt Dean just to get really away from crowds, like, you know, and make sure that I had a swim that was, you know, because I did swim through it. But I wanted just that sense of just a little bit more space. And you just can't get that off Brighton Beach in the summer. It's not possible.
Yeah.
So then it's like, then it's a case, I don't have a car. So then it's a case of like, you know, where can I find inland? Not really.
But this is, I mean, this is the eternal problem for like, I think actual regular year round swimmers, right? Because in this, and I always get a bit stroppy about it because I'm like, you know, we earned our place in this water all winter. And then all these people turn up.
Yeah.
Which is, I mean, you know, it's fine. I'm really glad that there are people enjoying it. But I think that's when, like, the summer is when I will turn into a 7 a.m. swimmer and have my swim first thing in the morning. And that's it, you know? And it's only on a rare day that, like, at 3 or 4 p.m. I'll think, okay, I'm going to pop out for a swim because it's really hot out. But, like, I tend to avoid any time when there will be crowds come summer because it's no fun. And like on the weekends I won't go to any of the popular lakes. I'll only go to lakes that like no one has heard of because I just can't cope with the crowds. It spoils it for me.
Are there I mean obviously like you've been to a lot of lakes, so what is your go-to if you want to have a summer one away from people? Like we went to Schlachtensee, right? Would that be busy?
That would be packed in the summer. And so I took you to Schlachtensee like in the autumn, right? Yeah, and it was sort of end of season. That was like in the summer, that is a lake where everyone would be gathering and like going after work. In particular, people go there and they'll take a picnic and they'll take their beer and their stereo. It's always the techno is what gets me.
Right.
Like there's something about like the need to play music at a lake that really I find disconcerting.
I have the same thing on the beach. There's this great Limmy sketch where he's in the park and it's just like music going, like, sorry me, and it's just really, really annoying. It just really gets me. So you don't, it's like two things on the beach that really kill me. It's like music and smoking. And you're like,
yeah,
the air's agreed. Really fresh and the sound is gorgeous. You don't need either of these things.
None of these, yeah. Yeah, and so that gets to me. So Schlachtensee would be too busy in the summers, which is why I go there in the autumn or the winter typically. But in the summer, I tend to get out of town a bit more. And so a couple weeks ago, we went on a Monday to a lake called Michisee, which is like a 30-minute ride from Bernau Station, which is like a 25-minute train ride from my house. So it's like 25 minutes on the train, 30 minutes on the bike. And it's quite a small lake, but it's one that honestly, like I hadn't heard of until someone told me about it. And it's small enough that you would sort of miss it. If you were just looking at a map, you wouldn't think anything was there. But it's lovely, like lovely, lovely, surrounded by forests, really easy to get to by bike, but has also in the middle of the lake, a beautiful sandbar that you can swim out to and you can like sit on the sand in the middle of the lake. It's like going on a tropical holiday. And so we went there week before last, and that was really nice. And the dog had a swim, because I'm trying to teach him. I mean, he knows how, because dogs know how, but I'm trying to teach him that it's fun and it's wonderful.
I had the similar experience of taking, well, I mean, obviously a dog and a toddler are not the same thing, but like, you know, similar in a lot of ways. And I took my boy into the sea with a friend a few weeks ago, but And she gave us what she calls a super suit, so like a wetsuit. But we had two goes in, and he loved it. I was really surprised. The last few times I've taken him swimming, he hated it. And we were in by the West Pier in Brighton, and he was having the best time. He was on my back. We were just swimming around. I was like chucking him in the air. But then when we got out, I took the super suit off. Then half an hour later, we went back in, but I zipped his tummy into the suit, as in like ouch. Right by his belly button. So now the super suit won't go on.
Yeah.
Now we are like back to zero. Now we are like, we will not get in the sea.
You can, you know, give it some time. He'll come around.
Yeah.
And like,
I'm very much hoping so. I was like so pleasantly surprised that he enjoyed it. I think it was because he was with a friend as well, but it was just like he didn't want to get out, at which point like we were like, we need to get out. Like I'm in a pair of shorts here and like we're basically in a wetsuit having a lovely time.
What's the temperature now?
It's like 16, 17. It's like, that's like tropical, right? You know?
Yeah, that's like, that's my max. It's, I think of that and I'm like, that sounds nice, but I would not go any warmer.
It's what, like, the last couple of times I've been in it feels warm, which is weird. And apparently there's been a bit of a jellyfish bloom, which always freaks me. And then there's dolphins in Hove.
What?
A pod of dolphins off of Hove Lagoons, yeah. So that's exciting. Wow. But yeah, I mean, I'm, as I say, like, it's weird. Like, I like going in summer just to cool off, but mornings are my time anyway, because I feel like it sets me up. I think if at this time of year, like, I did actually have a sunset one a couple of weeks ago, and it was quite nice. But at the same time, it was just a bit much because there were a lot of people on the beach. Social distancing just isn't a thing anymore. But no one cares. Like, everyone's drunk. And,
yeah, you know, same here, basically. I feel like I turn up, I go to the lake, I cycle over with my mask on, and then I'm like very carefully taking everything off and like, you know, trying not to touch my mask and all this stuff. And people look at me and I'm just like, yeah, okay. Like, maybe I'm being overzealous, but I would rather be overzealous in this situation.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's a good point. You know, I mean, masks aren't as much of a thing here just because for various reasons, which I'm
working on. Yeah, I mean, but it took a long time for it to catch on here.
Yeah, so. It's strange because like there's been a lot of talk recently that I was been speaking with editors about swimming articles about basically they don't want to run them because apparently there's just been this absolute surge of going to beauty spots here. And people were like, A, not knowing what they're doing, and B, just leaving crap everywhere. Which just like just blows my absolute mind that you'd want to go wild swimming and like have this connection with nature, but just think you can leave like shit all around.
Yeah, so, I feel like, I mean, that happens in a lot of places, particularly where there's not infrastructure for people to chuck things away properly. But it's also like, I don't know, this, it's really complicated because I get asked really often to do articles about swimming or do interviews about swimming and like, you know, telling people about the lakes here and, you know, the more special ones and, you know, how to get into it and how to start swimming outdoors really often. And I get really, I can be a bit torn about doing them because I feel like they need to be accompanied with a lot of guidance, right? And
yeah.
So like I did one a couple months back for Die Zeit, which is a major newspaper here in Germany. And you know, the angle was that, you know, since no one can go on summer holiday this year, the lakes are going to be really busy, how to stay safe, how to get into like, you know, outdoor swimming and, you know, what the best practice would be. And I feel like that's, those are the terms on which I would do that at this point. Cause it's like, I don't know. I do think it can be a problem. Particularly, you know, I go to some lakes that are really, you know, quite remote and difficult to get to, and then you get there and you see that people have left all their rubbish and it's like, seriously?
Yeah, right. And just the boozing that goes on around it as well. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I get that people want to have a good time, but it's just like, you know, a little bit of common sense. Like, it's still like 16, 17 might, you know, to us I say, oh, it's balmy or whatever, but like, you know, if you're not used to going in, that's cold.
That's cold for most people. Yeah.
10 degrees less than most pools, right? So that, you know, yeah, that, you know, you're gonna feel it, and you're gonna feel it quickly. I think that people don't realize you're going to feel it quickly in the summer.
Exactly.
The other thing I wanted to talk to you about really is access to the water in general for people of varying backgrounds, because I've spoken with so many guests on this podcast about this, and I think there's still this massive disconnect about, you know, this idea of like, free yourself and go to the countryside and get in the water. And it's such a white middle class concept. Mm-hmm. And it's just driving me to distraction. A, because I enjoy that privilege. And B, I just don't, like, how are we even going to get to a point where it's just explaining to people that isn't the case for most people? And that...
Yeah. Yeah, I think there's a lot of talk about outdoor swimming being, like, the most accessible sort of form of exercise and recreation because you don't need any kit and you can just go and do it and it's free. But I think, you know, what that misses or takes for granted is the idea, number one, that swimming is a skill that many people are taught and that costs money. And that there are cultural barriers sometimes to access. Like when I learned to swim as a child, I learned with my mom. I think I've told you this, like my mom and I took swimming lessons together because my parents both didn't know how to swim either. Yeah. Because my mom grew up in Taiwan where you just like traditionally don't swim. And so she never learned when she was growing up. And like, that was a sort of rare case that we took lessons together. So a lot of my friends who come from similar backgrounds as me don't swim. And so that's why, like, do you know this swimming group in East London, Swim Dem Crew?
Yeah. So it's Charlie.
Right? They do like active like group swimming, and they, you know, they work with others to teach one another, like to actually spread those skills in communities where perhaps people might not actually like across the board be swimming sort of in the same way that, like, I think a lot of my friends who are like white middle class, you know, they were in swimming lessons from when they were young and went to summer camp and became lifeguards and all of these things. Like, that isn't common across all, I would say, like all communities of color and communities with different kind of socioeconomic access. So there's that barrier, the like skill barrier. But I also think, like, living where we live in Germany, like, people don't like to talk about it, but there is the safety barrier. Like, you know, I have friends who, like a couple of friends who are Black, who, if they say like, okay, I really want to go to this lake or go to a lake, what lake would you recommend? Like, there's thought that you put into that here because, you know, there is a problem of racism in the countryside. There's a problem of racism in the city, you know? And so it's like, where can we go swimming is, how do I put it? It's like not always an easy question, right? Because it's not the same for everybody. There are certain, certain places that I like certainly wouldn't send a friend. You know what I mean? Like, so I don't know, it's really complicated. And I think it doesn't get talked about enough, right? Like,
really interesting, because now I think about that. Like, there's so many places in this country that I just wouldn't send BAME friends. I'd just say don't.
I wouldn't
say now where they are, but I know in my mind where they are. And like, I don't know where rural racism or racism in city is bad. Yeah, that's very, very, considering it from that angle is terrifying, right? You know?
Yeah, and I think it's like, how do I put it? It's like, it's complicated because you want to be able to say like, okay, we need to be able to also recoup these spaces, the spaces that we can all access, right? But it's like, who are you asking then to put themselves on the front line of that? Like, when I was writing Turning, you know, one of the things that kept coming up was like that there had been a number of attacks, racist attacks made on people in the region around where I was swimming in the sort of 20 years prior to me writing this book. Yeah. And I mean, that was in the back of my mind, right? Like, I'm white passing and can generally go where I want. And so it was like, it was definitely something I thought about quite a lot while I was writing. And so, I mean, I don't think there's an easy answer to this, but I think it's like, if we have more voices in our sort of swimming culture and community, that will, I think, help us take this less for granted. But also, like, yeah, we need to have hard talks about, like, where, I guess, like, where people feel safe going and what we can do about that.
The people that we see doing it, right? I mean, that's the thing, you know, that we see this in you know, the writing that we do, you know, the voices are not, you know, and I say this as someone who has enjoyed that privilege, right? You know, like, the voices are not diverse enough. And I think anyone who works in this space is aware of that, right? And that, you know, that if you're not seeing people of certain backgrounds producing that work and showing themselves going to those places and doing those things, be it swimming or walking or fell running or whatever, then, you know, where is that, you know, where is that representation? And what is that like to people who want to try and do these things? If you're not seeing it, you know, you can't be what you can't see. I know that's not, you know, that's, you know.
Well, I think it's like, it's partly the issue of seeing it, but it's also partly about like, having advocates and having structures in place that I think understand the different issues of access and the issues of I guess just the different impacts on different communities if you're going to the countryside to go swimming. And I also think it's like, you know, we need to have more conversations about even the idea of like, I get really, I don't know, like, I think about it a lot, and I thought about it a lot while I was riding Turning and swimming in the lakes here, this sense of like, then rural communities becoming playgrounds for urban communities. Like, that is also like a subsequent issue that needs to be discussed. So I feel like it's like, it's super complicated. We need to be really mindful. And I feel like we have a lot of like swim inspo sort of content going around in these communities, and not a lot of like consideration of like racial and social justice in swimming and access to the countryside, and how to do so equitably, and how to create structures that allow for equitable access. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. I mean, it's huge. It's a huge...
Yeah, not to be the boring one, you know? I love swimspo as much as anyone, but it's doesn't.
Like, you know, those are not, I'll be perfect, you know, those are not issues that would ever have crossed my mind when I wrote Floating. And why, you know, in a way, why would they? Because my book is based on Waterlog, which doesn't have those issues at its heart, you know?
I mean, like, there is the issue of like public and private land and access. Absolutely. And I think that is really significant, but it's like, what we need to understand is that there is not a one size fits all solution for like who is doing that access, who is accessing like
me trespassing on a piece of land at Winchester College is one thing, you know, someone of a different background doing that is a totally different thing, right?
It can be, yeah. And so I think this is where it's like, yeah, we need voices, we need representation, but we also need like people shaping policy and access and advocacy to be mindful of that, or to have their own personal experience reflected in that. Does that make sense?
It does.
So yeah, and this is where it's like, you know, it's not just about seeing images of like Black and Asian swimmers. It's also like having Black and Asian swimmers inform advocacy for access to open water, for example.
Good point. Right, on that heavy note, I believe we shall call time.
All right. Thank you for having me.
Thank you so much for taking the time. I just wish we could go for a dip in Berlin soon.
Oh yes, I know. Dreaming of it.
Thanks so much, Jess. Cheers.
I really hope you enjoyed my chat with Jessica. It was so informative, especially towards the end, to hear about those issues spoken about so forcefully and with such forethought. I also really, really enjoyed chatting to Jess about winter swimming. She was sort of my inspiration for getting into colder water when I read Turning, which came out at the same time as my book Floating. I just find the fact that she was able to go in and smash up the ice and get in without seeming to have any issues about her feet getting cold or her hands being cold, just so hugely inspiring. I'll be back with more episodes in the future. So until then, happy swimming.